Open your Bibles, please, to 1 Samuel chapter 15. The 15th chapter of 1 Samuel in your Scofield Bible, page 335. We'll begin with the 10th verse and read responsively through verse 17, the text verse being verse 14. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 10 through 17 and page 335. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about, and passed on, and is gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And let's pray. Father, thank you for this evening. We are here, of course, in anticipation of another wonderful service. We come to this church Sunday after Sunday, service after service. For those of us who have been here these numbers of years, we've not found anything to disappoint us about the way that you work here. We thank you for this institution, the First Baptist Church. We thank you for the fact that it stands tall among the churches of this world. We thank you for our preacher who helps to make it all happen. Thank you for his walk with thee, his talk with thee, and thank you that we get to hear now what you've given to him to say to us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now, Father, we come to the preaching of the book. What a wonderful opportunity it is to preach it and to hear it preached, just to have a copy of it. Now, I want you to do something to us tonight. I feel like this is one of those services where we need to really transact some business. May we do it? Please help us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak tonight on the subject, it's house cleaning time. It's house cleaning time. It's not exactly the kind of sermon that you think it is, those of you that just hollered amen, because you'll be hollering, oh me, after a while. But I do want to talk to you. This is not my favorite preaching. Listen to me now. Listen to me. Everybody look right this way. I'm talking to you. This is not my favorite kind of preaching, nor is it your favorite kind, but it is necessary that on occasion I bring a sermon like I'm going to bring tonight. Years ago, when Ms. Hiles and I were young people, back before she became perfect, which means it's several years from now. You didn't get that, did you? But anyway, I came home. I was a young man, and I came home. That's been a long, long time ago. And she did the thing that's cruel. Every woman's done it to her husband, but it's cruel. She said, Do you notice anything? I hate that with a passion. Do you notice anything? And I said, Oh, yeah, you've been to the beauty shop. No, that's not what it is. then you haven't been to the beauty shop. You don't think I look very nice. You've been there, you know. And it's so cruel. And I looked and I guessed and I guessed and I guessed and until she was checking the yellow pages under L for lawyers. And finally she said, "I cleaned the house today." "Oh, yeah. She said, "You're not looking at the right place." She said, "You'd never notice anything, and I worked all day." I said, "What did you do?" She said, "I cleaned the cabinets." How do you expect a guy to notice the stupid cabinets? So, she opened the cabinet. She said, "What did I do?" I said, "You cleaned them." She said, "I put new paper in the cabinets." I didn't even know the stupid cabinets had paper. That's so cruel. But every woman here understands what I'm talking about. Now, to me, house cleaning, there's some things about a house that the whole concept of American house cleaning ought to change. And whenever I become the head of the house, we're going to do it. For example, do you know, ladies, those dishes at the bottom of the stack are never used? Except when you're gone. As you know, Evangelist Beverly Hiles travels around the country preaching, and she, when she's gone, right before she gets back, there's a heap of activity at my house. And there's several things I do. I change the paper in the cabinets and things like that. I understand why you buy 12 plates and just use 4 of them. To me, you ought to use 4 and then stick them over here dirty to use all the other 8 and wash them all at the same time. In fact, that's what I do when I'm alone at home. And it's sort of dumb to make up a bed when nobody's going to be there all day long. I'm going to preach the truth whether you like it or not. And if bedposts weren't made for pants, what were bedposts made for? And if shoes weren't made to put under the bed, why that space under the bed? But every woman in this house, this room knows that you can tell. A woman can go to another woman's house, and before she's out of the entrance hall, she can tell if the paper's clean the cabinets. It's that first sense woman has. You say, "How about the other 5? She just has one. But she can tell. There, and there's something about, and by the way, ladies, we thank God you're like you are. Because if you weren't there, you'd be amazed. Miss Howell's out of town this week. I hardly ever go home on Saturday afternoon, but she's coming back in Saturday night, so I had to go home yesterday afternoon. And had to straighten up for a few hours. Every lady here knows what I'm talking about. There's something about knowing that the inside is clean that makes a lady a real lady. And thank God you're that way sometimes. Thank God sometimes you're that way. But there's something that makes you feel like the house is not clean unless you know that the paper in the cabinets and the paper in the drawers where you keep the silver the knives and forks, the brass or the iron or whatever you're made out of, tin. But that there's something that, now God's that way too. He tells us so often in the Bible that he is concerned about that which is unseen. He said to the Pharisees, he said, you're like whited sepulchres. He said, on the outside you're white and clean, and on the inside you're just as filthy as dead men's bones. He said, you're like a cup on the outside that's been washed and clean and shiny, but on the inside is dirty. Every once in a while, a church like this needs to clean up, get the paper cleaned in the cabinets. That's all we'll do tonight. I was just trying to get all the paper cleaned in the cabinets tonight. We're not going to vacuum the living room rug tonight. We're not going to mow the front yard. We're not going to wash the windows tonight. We're going to go and get in the cabinets where the papers are and where the wife gets. We're going to go in the drawer tonight where the silver is. We're not gonna dust the kitchen table tonight. We're gonna clean that, work on that part that nobody sees except you. God came to Saul, the king of Israel, and said to Saul, he said, when the Israelites came out of Egypt, a certain group of people, race of people, gave them all kinds of trouble. They're called the Amalekites. Now he said, I want you, Saul, to destroy the Amalekites. Now, you know, God wanted to kill people. I'm just telling you what God said, and God can do what he wants to do. And I want you to destroy the Amalekites, all of them. He said, that isn't all. I want you to destroy every beast. I want you to destroy the oxen. I want you to destroy the sheep. I want you to destroy the donkeys. I want you to destroy every animal and every Amalekite. Well, Saul began to obey. He destroyed all the Amalekites except the king, Agag the king. He let him live. Now God said destroy them all. He destroyed the murderers and destroyed the homosexuals and destroyed the poor people and destroyed the embezzlers and destroyed the thieves. Robbers, but the king, he let him live. That isn't all. Saul destroyed the animals. He destroyed all of the animals, the oxen and the sheep and so forth that were sick and maimed, and spared the healthy ones, he said, for sacrifice on the altar to God. Samuel comes to King Saul and says, Saul, did you obey God? Saul said, yes, I did. He said, did you destroy all the Amalekites? And Saul said, yes, I did. Well, he said, there was one. I didn't destroy the king. I mean, you would expect me to destroy the king of the nation. He's wealthy, he's healthy, he's good, and I didn't destroy the king. All but one. You see, God doesn't want you to disobey in one little bit. For you to turn from most of your sins doesn't please God. He said, I want you to destroy all the Amalekites. And then he said, did you destroy all of the sheep? Yes. Did you destroy all the oxen? Yes. Did you destroy all of the donkeys? Yes. Wait a minute. And Samuel said, I hear something. I hear some sheep bleating. I hear the noise of the bleating of sheep. I hear the noise of the lowing of oxen. He said, what meaneth this bleating of the sheep and lowing of the oxen? And Saul said, well, I didn't want to destroy the good ones. I destroyed the bad ones. And the honest, simple truth is most of us do the same thing in our lives. You have destroyed the fornication, but not the lust. You have destroyed the adultery, but not the looks, the glances, the evil thoughts. You have destroyed the fornication, but you've not destroyed the soap operas. And I ask tonight, what meaneth the bleating of the sheep and the lowing of the oxen? There are some sins that are
in the cabinets tonight. You can't see it from the entrance hall. You can't see it from the living room. You can't see it sitting on the sofa. But there are some sins tonight in the silverware drawer. There are some sins in the cabinets. You know what I'm talking about. Now look at me. Listen carefully. Tonight it's house cleaning time. We're opening the cabinets tonight. We're going to get expose all those little things in the cabinets. All those things in the silverware drawers. We're going to disclose the dust on the inside of the cabinets. We're going to discover what's down underneath the sink in that little place where you keep your soap powder and so forth. We're going to check the basement and see what's in the basement. We're going to check the closet and see what's in the closet. Because the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now that means you're not what you are in the living room, you're what you are in the cabinets. You're not what you are in the bedroom, you're what you are in the closet. You're not what you are on the outside, you're what you are in the basement. And tonight, there are people all over this room who got all the big sins cared for, all the obvious sins cared for, all the visible sins cared for, but there's lust, and there's hatred, and there's vengeance, and there's bitterness, and there's envy, and there's jealousy, and there's covetousness that I cannot see, and nobody can see, but it's there, and God sees it, and tonight, let's just clean the cabinets out. We destroyed the cursing, but we haven't destroyed the hatred. We destroyed the stealing, but we haven't destroyed the covetousness. We've destroyed the drinking, but we haven't destroyed the pride. We've destroyed the smoking, but we haven't destroyed the envy. We've destroyed the lying, but we haven't destroyed the selfishness. We've destroyed the false Bibles, but we don't read the true one. Now, I want to tell you something tonight. In the sight of Almighty God, thou shalt not covet is the Ten Commandments, just like thou shalt not murder or kill. And thou shalt not covet is in the same list of commandments as far as God's concerned. And God's as concerned about you getting the cabinets clean as he is getting the living room rug clean. And there are people all over this house tonight. The preacher thinks you're a pretty good Christian. And your neighbors think you're a pretty good Christian. And the fellow choir members think you're a pretty good Christian. And the fellow deacons think you're a pretty good Christian. But you know what's in your heart. You know what you meditate about. You know what you think about. You know what's down in here where nobody else visits, nobody else lives. Now tonight, a long time before church ever splits, we get the cabinets dirty. Listen to me now. Wake up. I got something to tell you. Listen to me. A long time before people get disgruntled with the man of God, these little sins get inside the cabinets. The paper gets dirty in the silverware drawer. Now tonight, I want you to forget your neighbor. I want you to forget the people that publish the NIV Bible. I want you to forget the queer crowd. I want you to forget the drunken crowd. I want you to forget Bill and Hillary Clinton. I want you to forget... No, it's hard to forget them. But I want you to forget the abortion crowd. I want you to forget the gay rights crowd. I want you to forget the liquor crowd. I want you to forget the adult bookstore crowd. I want you to forget the cocktail sipping crowd. Tonight, I want you to get down where you won't say amen very much. And where you're not shooting at somebody else. I'm shooting at you tonight. I'm talking about you. I'm looking in my own heart tonight, and I want to see what's there. And I want to get the cabinets cleaned out. I want to get the drawer cleaned out here tonight in my own heart. And tonight, it's house cleaning time. I was visiting a house several years ago. Years and years ago. First came to Hammond over here on the north side. And they knew I was coming. And so I went in the house and I said, what a beautiful house. And they had prepared and my coming and the living room was immaculately clean. And I said, I'd like to see the whole house. And I went to the dining room. Oh, it was nice. And the kitchen. Oh, it was perfect. And everything was fine. And the little girl said, Mama, show them that one. And the door was closed. And she said, no, Brother Howell doesn't have time to see the whole house. Oh, I said, yes, I do. And she said, "Oh, Brother Howell, would you like something to drink?" The little girl said, "Show him that one, Mama. Show him that one." And that little girl went over and opened that door. What that lady had done, she had done exactly what I do. Miss House is gone. She had taken everything and put it in one room. One room. All the garbage and all the newspapers and all the magazines in one room. And that's what you've done. Preacher, let me show you my Christian life. Let me show you that I don't read Playboy magazine. Of course you would if nobody knew it. Let me show you that I do not have HBO or a movie channel or Showtime. Let me show you that I don't watch the soap operas. Let me show you that I don't read bad magazines or bad literature. Let me show you that I don't go to Hollywood movies. Let me show you, Pastor, that I do not curse. Let me show you that my words are clean and my life is clean. Let me show you my tithe. Okay, but show me your heart. Let me read some verses to you for a few minutes tonight. You don't need to turn to them, but I want to read them tonight for a few minutes. And let me show you what God says about sin. Being filled with all unrighteousness. Now, I wonder what this unrighteousness is. I wonder what God's going to list to you. Listen, things. Fornication. Oh, boy. That's bad. Thank God I'm not like they are. Wickedness. Hey, that's bad. I thank God. I don't run around. I don't go to the nightclubs. I don't gamble. I don't go to the, the casinos. I don't play the lottery. I tell you, I'm clean as a hound's tooth. Fornication. Wickedness. Oh. Covetousness. He put my respectable sin right there beside those dirty sins. Now you listen to me. And you listen carefully. You are as good a sin as your good a Christian as your heart is. You're not the Christian that other folks see. You're the Christian that God sees. And he goes on and lists these bad sins. Maliciousness. Boy, I thank God I'm clean on that one. But envy. Hey, that probably fits some of the choir folks. I doubt if any of you folks have gotten drunk this week. Well, maybe a few have. But I doubt if any of you folks have robbed a bank this week. How about envy? I wish God would put the bad sins together and the good sins together. Goes on to say, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, envy. And by the way, envy is right before murder. Now you listen to me, folks. It's time that some of us, we Pharisees, decided we got some cleaning. We all do too. We spend so much time cleaning up everybody else's house. Our house is not very clean. And we spend so much time in the front yard and the living room and so much time in the kitchen and so much time in the bedroom and so much time in the family room. We forget their closets in the house. And I'm talking to folks tonight all over this room. Your heart is filled with envy and covetousness and jealousy. And I'm saying tonight, you go ahead and let those little sins get down inside your heart. And one of these days, they'll reproduce and become big sins. Boy, look at these. Oh, he starts. Malignity. Murder. Backbiters. Oh, I tell you, I'm going to pass this with flying colors. Haters of God. Boy, I don't hate God. Proud. Proud? You going to put pride in the same list of sins as murder? Yes, I am, God said. Everything sure is quiet in here tonight. There are people here tonight, you think you're better than somebody else, and you're not. You think because God put your nose on just right and shaped it just right, and you got your eyes are just the right kind of a color, and you got your shoulders a certain size, and your chest is a certain size, and your waist is a certain size, and you got hair that didn't turn loose, but turned. And he got a big head of hair, and you think you're something. And some of you little beauty queens tonight that wiggle down the street like a worm in a rainstorm, thinking you're God's creation because you're so lovely. I mean, the truth is, you got dirty sin in your life. You ought to come down this altar and get on your knees and get right with God tonight. Some of you Arnold Schwarzeneggers. You stupid idiot, you. Boy, you listen to me. You walking and showing your big old physique. I can take my shirt off tonight and show you my physique if I wanted to. And I'd be the envy of every man in this room. But not a single wife is satisfied with her husband again. Now you listen to me. You're not so hot because God made you 6'2". And you're not so hot because anybody can reach down and grab a bunch of iron. Any idiot can do that, but it takes a man to say no to sin. It takes a man to live right. It takes a man to control his spirit. You're not better than anybody else. God said, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Right there in that list of murder, adultery, fornication, murder. Yep, that's what it says, Junior. That's what it says, teenage punk. That's what it says, young rebel. That's what it says. It puts in the same list of murder and fornication and adultery, it puts in the same list you teenagers that won't obey your mom and dad, and your children won't obey mom and dad. And I'm here to tell you that one of the greatest sins you ever committed in your life is disobedience to your mom and dad. Without understanding, covenant breakers. You promised a tithe, but you don't do it. You were made a deacon in First Baptist Church and promised you'd come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and if you don't, you're not fit to be a deacon in First Baptist Church. You say, we'll get together and vote you out. First place, you won't win the vote. Second place, you do, and I'll tell you as I leave, you ought to come to church on Wednesday night, and when you are chosen to be a deacon in this church, you promise to tithe. If you don't tithe, you're a covenant breaker. You promise to come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. If you don't do it, you're a covenant breaker. I'm simply saying, ladies and gentlemen, we ought to get back to where our word means something in America again. You promise to pay your debts. First place, don't you make debts you can't pay. That's wicked. Second place, you make a debt, you pay it. You got to sell your house to pay it, pay it. You got to sell your car to pay it, pay it. It's house cleaning time. I'm not talking tonight. I'm bypassing the fornication here. I'm bypassing the murder here. I'm bypassing that malignity here. I'm bypassing the stealing here. I'm bypassing the cursing here. I'm getting in the closet tonight. I'm getting in the cabinet tonight, where the paper is dirty. He goes on. Without natural affection. Well, I'm glad he got down the queers. That's bad. Without natural affection. See what the next one is. Implacable, unmerciful. Unmerciful. He's putting me with the queers. See? You have rearranged God's list to include what you do and don't do. But God says, listen, to God, now don't misunderstand me. I think the outside is important. And some of you Pharisees are having, turn this up just a bit, please. PMN. Some of you Pharisees are having fun tonight because you think I'm saying the outside is not important. That's not true. The outside is important. How you dress is important. It is important you ladies wear dresses. It is important you men get haircuts. It is important you ladies wear decent length skirts. It is important. But it is also important what's in the heart and what's in the mind. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. It is important. Very important. Now let's go to another list. Now the works of the flesh are these. Adultery. Fornication. Boy, this is a better list, isn't it? Glory to God. Uncleanness. Hallelujah. Lasciviousness. Glory to God. Idolatry. That's a good list, isn't it? Huh? I like that one. Witchcraft. Hatred. Hatred. I just hate her. Oh, see, that's right down this list of adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. Variance. Emulations. Wrath. Strife. Oh. That includes whether you get along with your wife or not. That includes whether you and your husband fuss or not. I'll never forget a couple walking across the street in the parking lot one Sunday morning. She was letting him have it, and he was returning it. She said, "I don't know why you're like you are." And he said, "I ain't a dirty brick, a back, a pack, a little bunch of slattery." And then they saw me. She said, "Good morning, Pastor. Isn't God good?" I'm simply saying it's time we had a revival of getting along. Hey, young folks, listen to me. It's time we had a revival of getting along with each other. It's time we had a revival of kindness. It's time we had a revival of cleaning up the heart. It's time we had a revival of getting the pride out and getting the envy out and getting the jealousy out. It's time to get past the living room, past the front yard, past the flower bed, past the entrance hall, in the kitchen closet. And so God, listen, I wish you'd left out those good sins, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings. And right after that is murder. He's got your sin listed right there before him, beside his. Murder. You're not as good as you thought you were, are you? I knew you were lousy. Murder. Look, folks, here it is. This is the Word of God. Hey, but where are all my shouters tonight? They're under the pews. Murders, drunkenness, revelings, right there in with strife and hatred. We don't have much fun in that, are we? Tell this, dude, let's go back to television. Hey, let's go back to Oprah. If I preached on her 5 minutes, you'd be up screaming and hollering. But I want you to know God Almighty is concerned about your heart and your mind as much as He is about the outside. Now get your hatred out and get your envy out and get your jealousy out and get your dirty vengeance out and get your bitterness out and get your dislike out and get your pride out and clean off the kitchen drawers. Get them clean. More churches are split by this than they are drunkenness. More churches are destroyed by the dirty cabinets in the kitchen than are destroyed by dirty living rooms. Well, I hate to go on to other lists, but here it is. This know also in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Let me read you some of these. Blasphemers. Unholy. Without natural affection. That's you lesbians and queers. Homosexuals. Which is not a way of life. It's a dirty, rotten sin in the sight of God Almighty. You guys that love to hang around little boys. You women that hang around little girls. That's wicked. False accusers. Fierce. Traitors. I like that. High-minded. High-minded. People think they're better than somebody else. You're the lousiest guy in this staff, man. What do you think you're better than somebody else for? This morning I got a note from JoJo. Remember the bum I told about this morning? Mrs. Moffitt wrote me a note, and she said, a real sweet note, down at the bottom, she said, P.S. Was the bum you spoke about, Roy? It sounded so much like him. I'm not trying to cause any trouble. Now, folks, if First Baptist Church ever crumbles, she won't crumble because of the NIV Bible. Listen, fellas, I'm preaching to you. If First Baptist Church ever crumbles, she won't crumble because of mixed women. If First Baptist Church ever crumbles, and if Howells Anderson College ever crumbles, that'll be the outward manifestation of a long time before we quit. We lose our standards and convictions. We'll begin to envy. We'll get proud. We'll have division. We'll have hatred. I'm simply saying, if there's anybody in this room you don't love, get on your knees and get right with God. Anybody in this room you've been criticizing, get on your knees and get right with God. Get your kitchen cabinets clean. Ezekiel chapter 8, I think it's verse 14. God talks about a place called chambers of your imagery. The priests had gotten so wicked that they had built little private rooms where nobody else could go. And they had placed on the walls of those rooms all kinds of filth and garbage, even idols and sometimes sensuous pictures, drawings and words and so forth. I'm talking about the priest. And by the way, you young men from Howells Anderson College, if you're going to be a preacher, you keep your mind clean. And if you're not going to be a preacher, keep your mind clean. And God said, I'm interested in the chambers of your imagery. God said, I want to see that little room where nobody else goes but you. And everybody in this house tonight has that room. It's way down inside here. Your pastor has never visited that room. Your neighbor has never visited that room. Your daughter and your son, they've never visited that room. It's down in the heart. Your wife has never been down there and seen that chamber of your imagery. Your husband's never seen the chamber of your imagery, but God Almighty knows what's down there, and you know what's down there. And by the way, the real you is what's in that chamber tonight. That's the real you. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Didn't say as a man controls his television set, so is he. Didn't say as a man controls his literature, so is he. Didn't say as a man quits his smoking, so is he. Didn't say as a man quits his drinking, so is he. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I have no patience at all with these preachers that won't preach against outward sin. And I have no patience against these preachers that won't preach against inward sin. And it's not either or, it's both that God wants cleaned up. What kind of shape is the chamber of your imagery in tonight? I won't take time to say all I want to say. We had a little extra stuff tonight, but I want to say this in closing. In the second chapter of Revelation, we have the Lord addressing several churches in Asia Minor, second and third chapters. The first of those letters written to the seven churches in Asia Minor is the letter to the church of Ephesus. Now follow me carefully. The church of Ephesus was a church that hated sin. It was the First Baptist Church of Hammond of its day. It was the biggest church in Asia Minor, most influential church in Asia Minor. It was a church that hated sin. The Bible says, thou canst not stand them which are evil. There's a church also that is doctrinally sound. It said, thou hast tried them which say the apostles that are not, and hast found them liars. Here's the church that didn't go mixed women. Here's the church that didn't go to movies. Here's the church that didn't go dancing. Here's the church that didn't play rock music. Here's the church that believed the virgin birth. Here's the church that believed the perfect sinless life of Christ. Here's the church that believed in the vicarious death. Here's the church that believed in the bodily resurrection. Here's the church that believed in the second coming of Christ. This was a pre-millennial church, a separated church. The Bible says it's a working church. I know thy works. And goes on to say, you're a hard-working church. I know thy labors. Hey, this is a great church. Doctrinally sound. And hated sin. And a hard-working church. And this church was independent because it says, thou hatest the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I also hate, said the beloved John, has the Spirit inspired him. And that means that they're independent church. Nobody told them what to do outside their own church. The church operates its own business. A great church. But now, wait a minute. God said, then I have somewhat against you. He said, you've left your first love. Hear me carefully now. you've left your first love. Didn't say you've lost it. Didn't say you don't love me like you don't love me at all. It said you've left your first love. Now, Brother Johnny, there's no way in the world I can tell you how much you love. I do not know. I think you have a great capacity for love. I don't know, but I think you do. But God said, now listen carefully. God said, because in your heart you don't love me like you used to. Listen to me. He said, if you don't repent, repent? Repent? Of what? This church didn't serve liquor in the basement. This church didn't have card parties. This church didn't play bingo on Friday night. This is a fundamental church. But hey, used the right kind of Bible. Took the right kind of stand. But God says, you've left your first love. He said, down inside, there's something you used to have that I know you don't have. Now, you don't know each other don't have it, and your wife doesn't know you don't have it, but I know you don't have it. And God said, except you repent. Repent. Repent for what? Your heart not being right. He said, remember from whence thou art fallen. Fallen. Fallen from what? Fallen into drunkenness? No. Fallen into adultery? No. Fallen into homosexuality? No. Fallen into perversion? No. Fallen into stealing? No. Fallen into what? You've fallen from your heart condition as it used to be. And God said, if you don't repent of that and get back to your first works and get your heart right, God said, I'm going to take, he said, you'll still have a sign out in front that says Baptist Church, but in heaven, you lost your franchise. And you won't be listed as a church in heaven. Now you listen, I'm going to close, but you listen to me. It's house cleaning time. It's time for you to get down there and get that bitterness out of your heart against somebody you got bitterness against. Well, I just don't like her. Well, you're not to catch me out yourself. Now you listen to me. There's not a person in this room that's righteous enough to look down on anybody else. And not a person in this room who has a right to hate anybody, be bitter toward anybody, and I'll guarantee you, add all your enemies up, put together, and you won't have a tithe of my enemies. Add all the people in the world that hate you and slander you, all of you together, and add it all up. You won't have a tithe of folks that hate me and slander me, but I can step ten at night and say, in that heart right there, there's not one thing against anybody in this world, and praise God, I'm not only working on my living room and my front yard, I'm working on the kitchen cabinet. I'm not inspecting. Oh, I was down in, I'd forgotten about this. I was down in Texas, Copper's Cove, last Monday and Tuesday. Right across the highway was Camp Hood, Texas. But 50 years ago, next December, I embarked upon my Army career. They said the chaplains got together invited me to come to speak to the chaplains. Can you imagine that? Hooker, can you imagine? Hooker's right here. Can you imagine that? Can you guys out there imagine Great Lakes chaplains want me to come out and speak to them? And they said, we'd like to take you on a tour of Fort Hood, Texas. I don't want to take a tour of Fort Hood, Texas. I want to forget it. I spent the 17 most miserable weeks of my life in that stupid place. I didn't want to look at it. We go down the road. It's over here. I look that way. I remember that day, the sergeant came in and said, it's time for white gloves inspection. White gloves inspection, the sergeant, or captain, put a white gloves on and came and checked your rifle. Now, you had to put oil in the rifle, then you had to take all the oil off. I don't understand that. That's like making up a bed and nobody's seeing it. But attention! We jumped in front of our bunks. The whole thing was bunk to me, but we jumped in front of our bunks, and he said, present arms! And then the sergeant would say, would grab that rifle. You had to let it go. If you didn't let it go, you'd go with it. He'd grab that rifle. He took that white glove,
He put it down in there. And he held it up, and there was a little speck of oil. And then he got one of those, I forgot what they call them, the kind of thing you clean out the barrel with. What do you call them? Huh? Ramrod. Yeah, ramrod. And he put that down in there, and he found way down in that barrel a little grease. He said, "Private House, what's that grease there for?" I thought I'd be funny. I said, "It helps a bullet to slide out faster." He didn't laugh as much as you're laughing. You know what I had to do? I had to learn to take that rifle apart blindfolded and put it back together blindfolded. He said, "Hiles, I'll be here at bedtime tonight to put you and the rifle to bed." I had to tuck that rifle in bed and kiss it goodnight. I got more response than some of you fellas do, but anyway, I had to kiss it goodnight. He said, "Now tell it you love it." "I love you." He said, "Kiss it again." He said, "Now kiss it again." Dirty. I hate captains. I hate colonels. I had to put that rifle in bed. And it slept in bed. I guess I didn't stay awake. I, for one solid week, slept on the floor. And every night in the presence of the captain, I had to kiss my rifle goodnight. You know why? Because the stock of the rifle had marks on it? No. Because the barrel had scratches on it? No. Because the butt at the end of the rifle, because that had nicks on it? No. No. Because there was dirt on the barrel? No. Because way down inside, there was one little speck of oil. And God is coming tonight to give white glove inspection. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Listen carefully. Shh. I think I hear the bleating of oxen. The lowing of oxen, the bleating of lambs. Shh. I think I hear some bleating and lowing all over this building. You, like Saul, have killed the poor people. But the king of your sins is still there. And you, like Saul, have killed all the bad animals. But some of the ones that are not dirty and sick and crippled, they're still there. Listen. Do I hear sheep bleating in your heart tonight? Do I hear oxen lowing in your heart tonight? I want you to know that that's what caused Saul to lose the kingdom. God said, "Because you're no longer little in your own eyes, I'm lifting the kingdom from you." It's house cleaning time. Bypass the front yard. We'll check on that other Sunday night. Forget the front porch for right now. Forget the flower bed. We're not interested in that. We're not interested in what folks can see as they drive by. We're not going to stop and look at the living room at all tonight. We're not going to check the living room. Not going to see how the shape the sofa's in. We're not going to check and see if the rug's dirty. Forget that for tonight. We're not going to even check to see what kind of shape the sink is in. We're not going to see if the stove on the outside is clean. We're just going to pull out the drawer and open the cabinet and see what's on the inside. Our Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. And I pray tonight we'll do some house cleaning. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.